we're going to get started with our post-race media availabilities here at Michigan International Speedway for today's Consumers Energy 400. We are joined by Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 Interstate Batteries Toyota, who finished in third place today here at Michigan. We will open it up to questions. Please raise your hand. We will get a wireless mic to you. We'll start off in the front with Bob.
Bob Hockris, ESPN. Is third a good day, or when you're 4 seconds behind Harvick all day, it's like, eh?
I was in front of him for like five laps. Jesus, Bob. Yeah, I actually drove away from him for a couple laps there before that caution came out. I don't know how many laps we led or when we were in front of the four, but it definitely seemed like whoever got out front just could kind of take off, and if you were the fastest car like the four was, there was nobody that was going to be able to come close to you and do anything with you. You know, there were some moments there. That last run, once it got strung out, I mean, everybody was eight lengths apart, and, you know, you couldn't get any closer than that. You were just at an air deficit from being able to get air on your car from the car in front of you and just lacking grip, so you just weren't able to make up time. But yeah, I mean, it's Michigan. Take that with a grain of salt for us. This isn't our best place, so we don't necessarily think we're going to come here and be a dominant force, and coming out of here with a third is fine for us. We can take solace in that, I guess, and go on into next week.
Any additional questions for Kyle? We'll go in the back there.
She'll have to call on you.
Dom Joseph, Racing Rookery. Kyle, we're going to Bristol next week, and we all know how successful you are there. So do you feel like you're in perfect position to respond to Harvick's win?
Yes and no. I mean, certainly Harvick's been fast there too. I think he won there a couple years ago. But, you know, obviously we're kind of on a hot streak with Bristol. We love going there. You know, I would like to think that we can go there, be fast, and be able to respond, absolutely. So we'll see what we can do getting there. And hopefully having a fast race car and doing what we normally do there is just try to stay out of trouble. It's a tough place to stay out of trouble.
We'll come back down here.
Dave Mitchell, the Brooklyn Exponent newspaper. Kyle, you just made reference that Michigan is just not a strong track for you. Why is that?
I'm not sure. I think mainly because it's just so one groovish nowadays that, you know, I won the last race here on the old asphalt before they went and repaved it. And that day I had my own groove all to myself. I was the fourth lane. It was one lane off the wall, and it was my own groove, and I could go there, and nobody else was kind of running there. People were coming in and out or running lower or running higher or whatever. So that's when you can make up time on a guy like today, you know, trying to run down the 12 or the 2 or anybody in front of us for that matter. You're following them. You know, you're trying to keep your left front headlight out a little bit, which is only giving you like 20% air rather than 100% air, and having 20% air versus the guy in front of you having 100% air, it's just you're not going anywhere with that. You know, there's no speed in that, so you got to have all the downforce you can get.
Do we have any final questions for Kyle? There's one right back there.
Tyler Reamer, WKTN. You mentioned that this is a one single groove. When do you think we'll be able to see Michigan widen out into more passing lanes?
I would have hoped that it would have been a little bit wider than what it is now. It certainly widened out throughout our race, but throughout the truck race or the weekend, it didn't widen out very much. So, I don't know. Best guess, 10 years.
All right, Kyle. Well, thanks for joining us today. We are also joined by our second-place finisher, Brad Keselowski, driver of the number 2, Discount Tire Ford. We will go ahead and open up to questions for Brad. Please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll start right back there. And then go to Bob.
Rob Tiongson of thepodiumfinish.net. Brad, you guys, it was a top five finish to the Penske cars. You and Blaney got those. So for you, what were you encouraged by this run, and what do you feel like you guys need to improve on to try to challenge the big three as we head into these final regular season races?
Yeah, Rob, you know, the last few weeks we've had some pretty big struggles. You know, finishing out races with breakdowns and letdowns and all the above. So it's nice to just be able to have a clean race. We're mostly clean. We did have one loose wheel. But mostly clean race, and to be able to kind of get the finish we deserve, that's important. It's important to get what you have out of your car. And although we might not have race-winning speed, you still need to execute. So with that in mind, that's good for everybody's morale at Team Penske and on the two team as well. But of course, we want to break through and win as well. And you know, kind of like you indicated, we're not where we need to be to just win on pure speed against those guys week in and week out. So you know, we gotta find it. You know, as a team, we have to find that little bit of performance. It's not a lot. It's just enough to keep us out of victory lane. It's enough for us to run up front like we did today, finish up front when we do everything right, but not enough to win. So we know it's possible, and it's up to us to make it happen.
We're going to go to Bob, and then we'll go up to the press box.
Bob Pocker, ESPN. As you were saying, you didn't have the speed of Harvick. If he finished 3 seconds behind him all the way until Homestead, when do you have to feel like you're right with him to feel like you have a shot come Homestead?
I don't know if there's a great answer to that, Bob. I mean, I could throw you something out there, but it would just be a lob, right? With the way the points format obviously is, you know, to your point, Homestead is – but you have to get to Homestead. You know, you have to make it through those playoff rounds, and, you know, to that end I don't think you can guarantee on being able to point your way through. You can really only point your way through to the third round. You really can't count on pointing your way through to the fourth round unless you have all the bonus points, which we don't. So with that in mind, we're going to have to deliver and make results and win races. And I think that's what the sport's about at the end of the day. And so, you know, it's easy to say, harder to do. But, you know, I think, again, having a day like today where we're solid, we executed, it allows us to move forward as a team and as a company with all four cars or three and a half cars to get there.
So is this encouraging or deflating?
I think there's a little bit of both. You know, I think there's positives and negatives from today. And so, you got to try to make the most of the positives and learn from the negatives.
We're going to go upstairs to the press box and then go to Roy.
Yeah, Wolfgang Munzer from Germany, Rennsport Press Agency. Brett, I have a follow-up. Was Bob already asked concerning your race speed when you said we didn't have enough race speed? Do you know, your engineers know already in which areas you can improve the car engine-wise or maybe with the aero package?
I think they might have some ideas, but you know, I'm not really in the loop on what they might be. So I don't have a great answer for that, Wolfgang.
We'll stay down here and go to Roy.
Brad, with the Ford Mustang coming out next year, I know that's months off, but is that something that gives you encouragement to think that you might have newer dynamics to play with to go ahead and spring you forward into the winner's circle?
Yeah, the Ford Mustang is going to be great. It's going to be great not just for the Ford driver. It's going to be great for the sport of NASCAR to have a performance vehicle in the sport across all the lineups of the series. With that in mind, we got to win now. I don't want to win just in 2019. I want to win right now. In the prime of my career, prime of my life, and I'm hungry to win right here, right now.
We're going to go up here to the front, and then we'll go to Nate.
Larry Leitch from AP. Question about the so-called Big Three. Is it motivating to try to catch up to them, or is it discouraging because they're clearly so much more successful than everybody else?
Yeah, I don't know if I really put a lot of thought into that. You know, I go to each weekend as a reset point, thinking and feeling as though this could be the weekend where we have the speed to win that way or can execute that way, and I think you have to. And then when you start to get through the weekend, you have to get the most out of what you have. So we've had some races where I feel like we've been equal to or better than those guys where we haven't put it all together, mostly the plate tracks, I would say. So that's kind of on us to get a result. But on these types of tracks, you know, the mile and a half, the intermediate, whatever you want to call them, two-mile tracks, we haven't had that yet, but we've been closer some places than others.
We'll go to Nate.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Following up on that, Brad, knowing that this track is an indicator for those mile and a half tracks, Austin Dillon finished, fourth today with a new chassis. How much do you think teams were showing their hand today for what they're going to have when the playoffs begin?
I was really impressed with how well Austin and Ryan Newman ran this weekend. So, yeah, you'd be foolish to keep something great in your pocket. It's time to bring it out and make sure it's ready to go.
I'm going to stay down here in the middle.
Taylor DeSormo, MLive.com. Being at your home track in front of the fans and friends and family and whatnot, it's finishing second again. Staying at all, or is it more encouraging because you weren't second most of the day?
It's just going to make me appreciate when we do win here, Taylor. I know it's coming, and I got to believe if we keep knocking on the door, eventually it's going to fall in. So I don't know any better way to knock on the door than finishing second. You know, last year here we led a bunch of laps, won the stages, sat on the pole. We have done everything we can do here but win, and at least at the cup level. So we have that opportunity. You know, we'll see if it can develop into something. It hasn't so far, but I know in my heart that if we keep running like this, it will happen.
I'll go back to Rob and then to Roy.
Rob Tiongson of thepodiumfinish.net. Brad, also with Michigan, it's also like a little test of the mile and a half and just kind of indicating like how much of your improvement you guys need to make. But when you hear, like, again, the big three title, does it sort of make you say, like, hey, man, we're in this still, you know, Team Penske has still got the three of us that can make this happen. So
not really, because I don't think about it that much. You know, I'm kind of more focused on my team than those teams. So it's great fodder for this room, but for us as a team, I don't think we really think about it, because I feel as though if you focus at any one point in time on beating one car, or in this case three, you forget to execute on your end and to beat the other 35 some cars that you need to beat.
Come back to Roy.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. Roy Akers, Detroit Sports Media. To what degree are you guys absolutely sick and tired of hearing about the big three? And what are you,
well, I kind of feel like it's the same question, Roy. Yeah, I mean, I guess, like I said, I don't really think about it that much. So are you tired of hearing about it, Roy?
I figured you guys are.
No, I mean, I don't sit and listen that much to the fodder. You know, we're doing all we can to be as good as we can, and I don't think we can get caught up in those guys.
Right there.
Hey, Brad. Steve Newman, WINT Radio in Cleveland. Earlier, Al Unser Jr. was here, and I asked him a question about parity and whether or not it's good for the sport in terms of the template, both in IndyCar and NASCAR. And he said he's a traditionalist. He kind of likes the run what you brung. Mm-hmm. What's your take on it? If you had the ability to rule NASCAR.
Well, I don't.
And is there a smoky eunuch hiding in Stuart Haas Racing and the number four team somewhere?
There's some smart people. There's some great decisions made at the executive level. That's really the difference maker right now in this sport. You know, at the executive level, making the right decision to garner the right resources and human capital and equipment is a big difference maker. And you have to give credit to those guys. They've done a great job. But all three of those, you know, teams that, you know, we're discussing have made some really smart decisions at the highest levels, and they're reaping the benefits of that. So, you know, no team or no company is made of one player. You know, you're from Cleveland. You know about LeBron James. I mean, he's great, but he still has to play with four other people, right? And it's the same thing here. I might get a lot of the credit, but at the end of the day, there's almost 500-some employees at Team Penske that are building race cars day in and day out, and I can't drive without them. I can't race without them, let alone be the best. So with that in mind, it takes all those people coming together in the right way with the right tools and the right teamwork to be successful. And you have to give credit to the guys that have put up the most wins this year. They've built some of the best teams.
Go back up here in the front.
Yeah, George Poli, the Macomb Daily. Brad, you had the loose wheel, still wind up second. So when it's all said and done, was the loose wheel not even a factor? Or if it was, tell us how you worked back.
Well, it wasn't good. It definitely cost us a bunch of stage points, which we'd like to have, and possibly an opportunity to restart a little further up, which would have been nice to see play out. But it's hard to give a perfect answer on whether it would have been a difference if we could have won or not today. I think based on what I saw at the end, the four car was legitimately faster. And we would have needed a mistake from him either way.
We're going to go back up to the press box for a question.
Yeah, Chris Knight, CatchFence.com. Brad, I know you want to win now, and obviously you guys are showing speed that you can win now, but for you, are you willing to show aggression to get back to victory lane? Are you willing to lay the bumper, or you just want to come naturally?
Well, I mean, it's hard to really show any aggression when the guy that won the race was 3.5 seconds ahead of you. or lay a bumper.
Bristol.
I don't have that long of a reach. You know, I have my go-go gadget arms, but...
we're going to Bristol, though, next week.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, if we're inside at Bristol, I'm sure we'll do the best we can to find a way. What that means, you never know to the heat of the moment. You can talk about it all day long, but what happens in the heat of the moment is oftentimes much different than it is in a setting like this. So with that in mind, that's why you got to watch.
All right, Brad. Well, thanks for joining us today. Good luck next week at Bristol.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. It's good to see the nice media turnout this week. So thank you. Have a great day.